President Donald Trump has returned from his first overseas trip, and some lingering tension with allies over trade and climate change has generated headlines. And that could lead to deeper connections between some European Union members and China during meetings this week. Here to tell us more about that and to preview other international news is Dave McGuire of the BBC's Washington, D.C. Bureau. Dave, let's begin with China's premier. He'll make a couple of major stops in Europe. Where will he be and with whom will he be meeting?
Well, he's going to be heading to Berlin, and he's going to be there to talk about trade. But there's a subtext to this, which is one of those occasional, perhaps accidental, international affairs coincidences. His visit comes after last week's visit by President Trump to the G7 summit and to the NATO summit. And the Germans were clearly not impressed with Mr. Trump. The foreign minister of Germany said that that Mr. Trump was the destroyer of Western values. And the chancellor, Angela Merkel, said that the U.S. was not a reliable ally for the EU and that they need to look elsewhere. Mr. Trump is very unpopular in Germany. Some numbers I've seen have said that 80% of Germans don't care for him and dislike him. So it could be a bit of smart politicking for her to be making these kinds of statements. But at the same time, she says that she's a committed transatlanticist and that she still believes in a good relationship between Europe and Germany and the United States. But it just so happens that today she's met with the Prime Minister of India. He was there to talk about trade. And Mrs. Merkel said that the EU should move faster with an India-EU trade deal. And tomorrow she's going to be hosting the premier of China. Li Keqiang is going to be there to also talk about trade. And so what you can expect to hear tomorrow is more of this kind of language from Mrs. Merkel.
And speaking of President Trump, as we almost always do, one of the things that was part of his campaign was to talk about moving the U.S. embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. But this week we expect him to actually not follow through on that.
It could be. We'll have to wait until Thursday to find out for sure. But the U.S. and many other U.N. member nations have their embassies in Tel Aviv. They don't have them in Jerusalem because it's a divided city. But you're right. President Trump, when he was candidate, Trump said repeatedly on the campaign trail that he believed that it would be the right thing for the U.S. to move its embassy to Jerusalem. And he even reiterated this in February when the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was in Washington, and President Trump said, I would love to move the embassy. But it's a complicated thing. The U.S. Congress in the 90s passed a law saying that the American government should move the embassy to Jerusalem, which is essentially acknowledging Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. But the U.S. president has to, every 6 months, announce whether he's going to do it or whether he's going to delay for national security reasons or whatever. And every president has done this for nearly two decades, and it's usually not a big deal. But because of these statements, people are wondering what would happen if Mr. Trump followed through with those promises to move the embassy. I asked Barbara Plett Usher here, who covers the State Department for the BBC, what could it mean if Mr. Trump actually went through with this promise?
Well, that would almost certainly provoke a backlash from the Palestinians and also from the wider Muslim world, because Jerusalem is a holy city for them too, and its status is disputed and has long been seen to be part of any final peace agreement. So moving the embassy now would make peace talks between the Palestinians and Israelis much more difficult. And Mr. Trump seems quite keen to try his hand at peacemaking.
So we'll see on Thursday how President Trump takes this next test in the diplomacy of Middle East peace.
And Dave, finally, an important anniversary for China coming up this weekend. We all remember the Tiananmen Square massacre. That will be marked with a vigil in Hong Kong and other places. What are you watching for there?
Well, it's a big anniversary for China, but you probably won't see much going on in China proper, because for 28 years, the Chinese Communist Party has not allowed discussion about what happened in Tiananmen. And they also dispute the numbers, that it could be hundreds, it could be thousands of people who were killed during those protests and the crackdown on the democracy protesters. There were protests this previous weekend for human rights in Hong Kong, and one of the protesters was dressed in military garb and he had a fake tank with him. His name was Louis Wong. He says military tanks repressed the students on June 4th, 1989. Even though they're not using military tanks to repress civil society's rights in mainland China, the suppression over the last 28 years has not stopped. He goes on to say, we're here to tell people with this military tank prompt that repression has never stopped. And this is an interesting thing that mainland China may not be acknowledging or marking the anniversary of the Tiananmen Square protests, but Hong Kong's relationship with China is very complicated. They themselves are looking forward to July 1st when they mark the 20th anniversary of the handover back to Chinese control for the Hong Kong territory. At the time, Hong Kong was promised that they'd be able to keep the rights that they had under the British rule, which included the right to free speech. But many protesters in Hong Kong have been saying that the government in Beijing has been slowly eroding those rights. So we're expecting to see protests on Sunday in Hong Kong about the Tiananmen Square democracy crackdown. But actually, the protests will probably be about Hong Kong as well.
So interesting to watch for. Dave McGuire from the BBC's Washington Bureau. Dave, thank you.
You're welcome.
And you're listening to The Show.